So it goes without saying that the coronavirus outbreak has forced decisions on people, groups, organizations that they don't want to make. They just simply don't have a choice in terms of gathering and so on. In a lot of places, there have been government mandates in terms of how many people can gather at once. State governors have been pretty aggressive in doing this, even before the federal government. So this, of course, has led to the question of what should churches do? And it was a real issue last week as we were just at this point where gatherings were being called into question and governments were starting to take action. Some churches held their services here in Wisconsin. Many went to a digital online video streaming. By this Sunday, you're going to see that's going to be the case for most churches around the country. However, there are some churches who simply refuse to heed the advice, and in some states, even where crowds the size that they draw in their congregation have been mandated not to meet, they feel that God trumps government in this case. From a CNN story, in an essay in the conservative Catholic magazine First Things, editor R.R. Reno chastised the dozens of bishops in the U.S. who have suspended Mass and closed their churches. Closing churches is utterly unnecessary, wrote Reno. People can gather to pray before the reserved sacrament while maintaining the social distancing advised by public health experts. Modest-sized Masses can be conducted in ways that do not irresponsibly risk spreading the virus. The problem is, since those mandates came down, they have shrunk, really, in many cases, to groups of no more than 10. In Baton Rouge, a pastor, Pastor Spell, said a police officer came to Life Tabernacle Church on Tuesday night and told him the next time the church held a service, the National Guard would be sent in to break it up. The Central Police Department in Baton Rouge did not immediately respond to a request for comment, but we can see where this is going. Another pastor, Brian Lohman, reluctant to close the doors of his South Hills Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Lohman said he met with the church's safety committee and deacons this week to seek God's will for the church. As always, the Independent Baptist Church saw guidance from the Bible, and then they point to two passages here. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And then there's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Other verses talking about don't stop gathering together as some of you have. Well, there is no question that there is a biblical mandate to meet. This is a separate issue from those who tend to say that, well, I can just do Christianity. I can just do Jesus on my own. No, the Bible is filled with examples where, yeah, you can do that, but it is not Christ following the way that we are, in fact, called to do. Now, I think it's pretty obvious what the answer is here. As something I read at crosswalk.com pointed out, common sense isn't caving to fear. So if you take that verse, Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Exercising common sense is not caving to fear. It's not violating what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:7. For example, these pastors who say that, no, God wants us to attend church and we shouldn't cave to fear. If there was a tornado warning in their, let's say the Louisiana church, if there was a tornado warning in their parish, and there are parishes in Louisiana, not counties, if there was a tornado warning, would he still urge people to drive to church that morning? Don't worry about that. God will protect us. God does protect us, but he also does expect us to act responsibly in all things. You can pray to God to help you find a job when you're unemployed, but he does expect you to go look for work. One's not going to just fall in your lap. I think this is really no different. And I think it is obvious that the answer here is that churches should not hold services until at whatever moment we're comfortable that the threat to the public allows brick and mortar meetings again to happen. I think what we have to remember is church is a verb. It's what we do. Yeah, it's a noun. It's a building. but that building is where we do church. I am a strong believer that church is a verb. Church is praising God, thanking God, being the feet and hands of Jesus here on earth. That's church. And yes, that absolutely includes fellowship. It includes iron sharpening iron. No question about that. But right now, we just can't do that. It's not safe. And I know some people believe that's hyperbole, that's blowing things out of proportion. I think even since this first came up last Sunday, you've seen more and more that is the case. It simply makes no sense to go against the health advice, and in some cases, again, government mandates of not meeting, not interacting. This is a pandemic, and we have a responsibility as church leadership to make sure that our flock is safe. We don't love people, as a pastor friend of mine said, by calling them into public to make them sick. And there's no sign yet that this is waning. But we are still church. Now, of course, what most churches are going to do this Sunday, including Oak Brook, where I attend, is we are going to video stream. Pastor Sean's going to video stream. Most churches I know of, not all, I haven't talked to all of them, but most of the churches I communicate with have said they are going to go to church digitally, live streaming. That's what Oak Brook did last week. And churches are going to get better and better at doing this as they get more practice. And the reality is they're going to get some practice here in the coming weeks. That is church, sharing the gospel that Jesus bridged the gap between God and we sinners with his life by coming to earth as human and in a most incredible sacrifice. That's everything. And that can be effectively shared. And the reality is, as a pastor friend pointed out this week, there's an opportunity to grow. There's an opportunity to reach new people by simply going to a digital stream, by being an internet church for the time being. Now, I understand that some people fear that the regular congregation is going to get comfortable. Well, this is okay, this doing this from home on Sunday morning. Admittedly, that is something I think churches are going to have to deal with when we get to that point, when we get to where we can be churching, church the verb, in a building that we call church. There's going to be a number of challenges. It is going to be a while, even after the government, whatever that looks like, calls an all clear. Some people aren't going to want to come out of their, for want of a better term, caves, you know what I mean, their houses, to start interacting again in a way that we did before all of this happened. That's not just going to happen overnight, and we're going to have to deal with that. But we do open, as an article I read put it, when you close building doors, you open spiritual doors. You don't know who's going to watch that stream. You don't know that you aren't going to connect with people that you never would have otherwise connected. All of your parishioners or congregation members can share that stream. Say, hey, we're still doing church. I know I've invited you a bunch of times, but you've never really wanted to come. Just sit at home on Sunday and see what we do. Now, I have the benefit of watching several streams that way. There's different service times. Many churches are doing the live stream at the time they would normally do their service in the building. So if there's a church with an 8:15 service, I can stream that now. I don't have to worry about getting ready for our service because I'm going to be watching that from home, which is 10 o'clock-ish. And that's an opportunity. And others, of course, archive them on Facebook. And if you are a Christ follower, you can get a lot more. You can hear a number of different messages. You can also share those. There's an evangelizing and discipleship opportunity here that we should not take lightly. And look, it's tough. I love the fellowship of Sunday morning. Ramona and I miss it greatly, and it's only been one Sunday. And I will be delivering a message that way on Palm Sunday. Think of what a blessing this is. Imagine 20 years ago. Yeah, that's a good round number. 20 years ago, 2000. We didn't have this kind of capability. The church doors would be closed. And there really wouldn't be much alternative way of sharing the gospel, of connecting with people. And what you can do also is, this is a great outreach in terms of, do people need help? Something Oak Brook and other churches are doing, not just the Sunday service, we're doing a lot of videos. And Ramona and I are doing this in our personal ministry, Seymour Park Community Ministries. We're going to be doing a lot of online videos, a lot of online help tip type things. We are now Church of Cyberspace. And by church, I mean with a big C, all of us who are in ministry. That's what we are right now. Our ministry, Ramona and mine, Seymour Park Community Ministries, built around loving people, serving people, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Right now, the only way we can do that is through cyberspace. And that's true for churches all over America. Embrace that. Don't take lightly the incredible blessing that is to be able to continue to reach your fold, the people that you have typically in your church building, and your flock, everyone in the community. And I urge churches to be helpful to one another. If there's a church that isn't as tech savvy, a church that has people that are more tech savvy, help those other churches. These aren't competing businesses. We're all on the same team. And I think this is a golden opportunity. Not only do we not want to put our congregations at risk, we want to take advantage of this incredible technology and use it to the maximum potential to bring glory to God's kingdom. So as I sign off this podcast, which I will post in the cyberspace, be thankful and stay safe.